Enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
What do Legos, Salt Bae, and a cheese truck have in common? Find out on this week's episode of Meat and Three by Heritage Radio Network. I'm HRN Executive Director Katie Mosman-Wadler, and this week, we're talking red tape.
All we want to do is work. We just want to work.
But don't worry, it isn't all bad news. Learn how one local leader helped overturn New York City's prejudicial ban on dancing.
This is a law that has a long history of being racist and homophobic and being used to go after marginalized communities.
Don't miss Meat and Three, your weekly 15-minute food news roundup from HRN. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Search MEAT plus sign THREE. And thanks, as always, for listening.
Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler. I'm the executive director of Heritage Radio Network. Kat is on her way right now to kick off her Memorial Day weekend, so she's with us in spirit, but they still don't let you make phone calls on the airplane. So, Kat, we're thinking you. And, well, I guess you can do that thing now, but you can only chat. So, but I have another wonderful co-host today in studio. Hannah Forden has stepped in.
Hi, Katie. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Happy weekend almost.
Like heaven in here, you guys. Oh, thank you. About to find out why. It's not Ode to David. Also joining us in studio is our custom content and partnerships specialist, Margaret Kelly. How's it going, Margaret?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, guys.
And as always, in the booth is our stalwart engineer, David Tadashore.
Thank you. Applause, love everybody. This crowd.
Oh my God. Okay.
So beautiful.
We have a great show lined up today. Our very, very, very special guest is Allison Lacey, brand manager at Emmy Roth.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Yay.
Thank you. Emmy Roth not only crafts specialty cheeses from Wisconsin and Switzerland, but they're also one of our most wonderful partners at HRN. And Allison is a seasoned guest of HRN Happy Hour. So we're so glad to have you. And the studio is smelling absolutely delicious right now.
Again, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's not actually David, but you are making some beautiful treats here, and there are so many things happening at the same time. Can you tell us what is happening?
Sure. So we have in one corner of the room here our Particlette, a.k.a. coolest thing ever from our friends at Bosca. We have a little raclette going on right here, and it's bubbling up as we speak, so we better start eating this soon.
Got it.
Hold it up to the microphone.
Can we hear the bubbling?
I don't know.
Can you hear that?
Okay, if not, no problem.
No, just imagine it.
Sorry, listeners.
There's beautiful. We have candlelight in the studio today, and the candles are powering the bubbling raclette. And how are we going to eat this?
So this is kind of like a Swiss nachos kind of deal. We have we have these terracotta, what are they called? Not terracotta, that's the plant thing. The terra chips. I love them because they're so pretty.
Tarragon?
No, the fancy potato chips.
But you could use anything.
And they're colorful.
Yeah. I like blue corn chips or anything like that. And then we have some McClure's pickles on there, and we have some onions, some like caramelized onions, and a little apricot jam to go on top. And we're going to pour this raclette baby over that.
Oh, we're jamming now.
Oh my God.
Concoction pretty soon.
Oh my God.
And on the side, we have a little garnish of a tetemon rosette. So we're really fancy with that. We have another cheese tool here called the girole, aka a curler. And the tetemon is a little cylinder. And you use the girole to curl it away. You kind of like pair away these beautiful little flowers. And the aeration really just brings the cheese to life. It's probably one of the only cheeses in the world that you don't just eat straight. Like, you wouldn't cut a slice of it. You want to aerate it, so it's got this beautiful...
Mm. Oh, that's so interesting.
Some, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they look like little carnations on our plate.
Yeah, they do. So beautiful. Little white carnations.
I think there was something connected to the fact that it's... like one of those mushrooms, like a chanterelle mushroom.
So, oh, yeah. That is exactly what it like. The if you look at it head on, it looks like a carnation, but if you look at it from the side view,
oh, yeah,
it's the
right.
beautiful trumpet shape.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, now that we've made everybody super jealous of our 5 o'clock snack, we are going to jump in and we're going to have a snack. We're going to talk a little more with Allison, but first we have to go through this week's headlines. David, can you cue us up?
Yep, I'm gonna cue you up.
Momentarily.
Is that me?
Time to get a new computer.
All right, guys. Beer Sessions Radio brought us two master... I'm gonna pronounce it how I did earlier. Chicharrones.
Chicharrones, also known as Cicerones.
Cicerones this week. Max Backer and Ryan Daly. No relation to Carson Daly, maybe.
What? Definitely not.
Host Jimmy Carboni quizzes these experts to test their knowledge of all things beer this week.
And on the line, Eli interviewed Chef Laura Cole, who has been at the forefront of identifying, developing, and pushing the boundaries of what Alaskan cuisine can be. They talked about her business, 229 Parks Restaurant and Tavern, which is located at the entrance to Denali National Park. So if you're ever in Alaska, I think that's worth checking out.
And the name corresponds with the mile marker on the highway where it's located.
Oh, I love that.
So cool.
In other news, I've started eating the nachos, so I hope you don't hear me crunching. But you guys
I'll be right in to join.
Crunch away. And on Japan Eats this week, Kiko was joined by Chuck Malone, the second American ever to work on a shochu distillery. We heard about his time in Amina Oshima. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm sorry, Amami Oshima, an island off the coast of Kagoshima, making Koyuto, which is black sugar.
And last week, Meat and Three, HRN's new weekly food news digest, focused on the theme of pork. We talked Chinese tariffs, barbecue, and the perfect BLT. And we've got a new episode coming out tomorrow, Friday. So make sure that you are subscribed to Meat and Three on your favorite podcast app. And you can catch our newest episode, which is on the subject of the dreaded red tape. It's going to be so good.
That was my tape sound effect.
That was really solid. Really solid.
And then up for events, we have some fun stuff going on. It's time to get your tickets for Slow Food Nations in Denver. It's happening July 13th through the 15th this year. Slow Food Nations is a festival of flavor, culture, and exploration. From the taste marketplace in Eat Street to workshops and family fun, it's going to be a fantastic event if you guys are out there. So HRN will be broadcasting live interviews, and we'd love to see you. So you guys can find tickets and more information at slowfoodnations.org.
Thank you, Margaret. One more event coming up that we want to give a shout out to. Tickets are on sale for the latest edition of Sumo Stew on July 17th. So this one is to celebrate summer. It'll be a special outdoor event at Arrogant Swine here in Brooklyn. Sumo Stew is always a good time, and it's hosted by our very own Michael Harlan-Turkel and Harry Rosenblum. This menu will feature a seasonal chunkonabe, and of course, it will be celebrating all things sumo. So get your tickets at sumostew.com. So thank you guys for going through those headlines and the events. Reverse thank you to David for taking my plate of nachos into the booth. But we've got some more cheese.
It was handed to
me. We got some more cheese coming up on the it was the raclette. What was the thing called? The fun?
It's called a partyclette.
The partyclette.
It's so cute. It's like if you really want to have a gourmet camping experience, or if you want to do it on your table, it's got like little tea lights underneath it.
Glamping.
Yeah.
This is the perfect, like between the Girol and the Partyclette, these are the essential glamping toolkit, I think, for summer 2018.
Yeah. And what's great about the Partyclette too is the top actually could take that off and put it right on the grill. And then you could just, like, grill that over and pour that over your hamburgers, hot dogs.
I feel like we're on QVC.
Oh, my God. This is something that you can actually put in your tote. It's small enough to fit in a tote bag. that you could take to the park.
Yeah, that's like the size
picnic.
Of my wallet.
So I've already finished my plate.
The band shell in Prospect Park, you can bring this with you and sit under the tree and have raclette.
And I bet strangers like will be lining up.
And have your rosé and like have a little romantic
not always a good thing.
Dinner mm-hmm. picnic.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Guys, I have been in this situation in Prospect Park of like having too much food after a picnic too. And also like people in Prospect Park want to eat your leftover food. I felt really weird because I like... We had a ladies' night, actually, that Aaron Fairbanks put together, and it was a potluck picnic in Prospect Park, and we had all brought, like, way too much food, as you do to a potluck.
Sure.
And then there was this huge thunderstorm coming, so, like, most people, like, peaced out, but then there were still, like, people who were clearly, like, set up camp, and so I was, like, kind of cleaning, and I didn't want to throw all this food away. We're, like, here trying to take a stand against food waste, so there's, like, this... bunch of people having a birthday party, and I went over with like half a potato salad and some weird like different assortments of leftover spreads and whatnot, and I was like hi guys, I hope this is not offensive to you, but like would you like our leftover food? And they were so excited about it.
That's bold.
Yeah. I really admired that.
I think if I brought this cheese though to a picnic it would be gone.
Like, what I'm saying is if people will take your, like, warm potato salad leftovers, they will definitely try to steal your hot raclette. So hang on to that. Yeah.
I love it.
Guard
so
it with
cute.
Your life.
Yeah, raclette is really come a long way, I feel like. I mean, right now we sell it in a 15-pound wheel and a square.
Yes, please.
So you want to show up one to a please. Party with that?
Yes.
And there's all different types of machines that you could use to kind of melt it. It's like a broiler effect. So the heat will melt the open side of the cheese, and then you scrape it down. And traditionally, it's served with potatoes or cornichons or pickled onions. But here in America, we just put it on everything.
America.
Burgers,
America, baby. America.
Hot dogs. It's kind of a mild flavor too, so I wouldn't worry too much about, oh, is this going to taste good with that? It's just whatever you want to put melted cheese on.
Trot on your Memorial Day
everything.
Hot dogs this weekend, people. Uh-huh.
Definitely, definitely.
Our forefathers died for your right to do this.
We have some recipes on our website, too. Like, just, you know, traditional hot dog and just pour this over it, and it's cheesy wow. hot dog.
What is a traditional hot dog?
For me?
Yeah.
I like my hot dogs a little...
Where are you from originally, first of all?
First of all, I'm from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yes.
That's important for, okay. like, how you take your hot dog, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so...
So how do you take it?
Brooklyn. Sure. So I like... Actually, I really love Boar's Head hot dogs, not to name drop, but they're really great.
That's good.
And
shout
my dad...
Shout out around the corner to the Boar's Head
Our
plant.
Neighbors. My dad used to make them, like, really kind of... What's the word I'm looking for? He wouldn't burn them, but they would just get really well
mm-hmm,
done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a nice crispy edge, like a nice crispy skin. And then, I don't know, some, what's that mustard? Just the spicy brown with sauerkraut and relish. And if I'm getting really into it, like some baked beans on top of that.
Wow. Yes. So good.
I guess that's kind of like a traditional New York hot dog, New York by way of New Jersey.
I think as long as there's not ketchup on it, you get a pass.
No, no.
I really get the ketchup hate. I've been seeing so much of it. There's so many, like, it's like Memorial Day, so all the, like, food news, quote unquote, air quotes, is about hot dogs and how you eat them. And there's so much, like, ketchup hate out there.
I grew up with a strict family of, we would have soubrettes. That was it. That was the only kind of hot dog we would get. Soubrette.
Is
then
it beef or pork?
It's beef.
It's beef. It's kosher.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's and kosher beef.
Is soubrette one that's known for the snap? Is that one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think soubrettes are Brooklyn. So on Long Island, we will only get a soubrette.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're longer. So they would like hang out a little extra outside of the bun.
So question, do you eat like the both sticky outie ends first, or do you like get to the end and run out of bun and then you have like an inch of hot dog left?
I don't know. Kind of have to, I'm not sure. Kind of. Depends on the day. But I really like...
on my mood.
I really like mustard on it only, like the yellow mustard.
Yellow
but
mustard,
I like having cheese on a hot dog. And I didn't really have that until I was like in my 20s.
Cheese and mustard?
No, well, like I would have
one
like
cheese...
Yeah, one or the other. Okay. And I would do like... We would put... I went over to somebody's... It was like down in D.C., so we're in the South. And they put cheese on a hot dog. I was like, this is something interesting, but it was like a Swiss cheese, kind of like this. And it was very good on a toasted bun.
Swiss cheese, huh?
Yeah.
What about like in Vienna, you can get the hot dogs from the stand and like they have these like injectors like you have for churros and they'll inject cheese like down the center of whatever sausage you get. Which can also then be like stuffed into a baguette.
That sounds kind of gross.
It's kind of great. Technology.
It's good for like 3 a.m.
What would you do?
Yeah, that's drunk
would you
food.
Put cheese on your hot dog?
Well, okay. I really like relish and tart things, and I like spicy mustard. I also like ketchup. But here's my ideal hot dog. Do you guys know how to do the spiral cut hot dog thing?
No.
Can I use my spiralizer?
I don't know, actually. I have the spiralizer attachment for my KitchenAid. You can maybe try it. But the thing that you do is you take the hot dog and you put a skewer straight down the center of it.
Uh-huh.
And then you take a knife, a sharp, like a chef's knife, at like a, I don't know, say a 45 degree angle. And you cut, like, until you hit the skewer. So you cut halfway down, and then you just sort of roll the hot dog with your knife at an angle, and it's then a spiral dog. So the best thing is, for that, then you can fit, like, this, like, really chunky topping. So I love to do that and then put kimchi and mustard and ketchup.
This is so
that's
fancy.
So interesting.
And cheese if you're, like, then, like, a really crazy person.
Kimchi? Did you, like, grow up putting kimchi on your hot dogs?
No. This was something I started, like, in college.
Wow. Or, like,
shortly after.
I bet that's
But, like,
that's
it's so
really
great because it's, you know, it's got all the tart, wonderful, crunchy cabbage of sauerkraut, but then, like, so many other, you know, you can get really spicy, wonderful things, and it's such a great complement to, like, the hot dog. And you see a lot of, like, Japanese and Korean cuisine where you have Spam beside kimchi, and I think, like, hot dogs and Spam are actually not all that different.
And kimchi basically is sauerkraut. It's just Korean version. It's fermented cabbage, and so I think that's passable. I don't know about do you put cheese with the kimchi?
Only if you're, like, it's a lot. I mean, most Korean people wouldn't. It's gone far beyond like a traditional food at this point. If that's your kind of thing, I would do like a really mild cheese.
Yeah, I'm like
pre-shredded Monterey Jack.
What do you do, Hannah? Do you put cheese on your dog?
Oh my God, no. I'm definitely a traditionalist. My family is also from Brooklyn. And it's just like Nathan's is the holy land.
Yeah, we're Nathan's.
That's our backup.
Yeah, and we would do Sabret, and then like if those were not on sale, we would get Nathan's.
Yeah, so I think I'm not a sweet person. I'm more of a spicy, savory person. So ketchup isn't super appealing to me because it just feels sweet.
I feel like too, that was like when we were little, like my parents put ketchup on everything and it's like, okay, now you can eat it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It feels kind of, so no, I don't like that. But I think, so if I'm feeling traditional, if it's like, I'm in New York and it's the summer and you know, I need to have a full hot dog experience, like just mustard or mustard and sauerkraut is good, but I'm not always in the mood for sauerkraut. But there was, I have to say, I also grew up in the Hudson Valley, and there was this amazing hot dog place that recently closed in Poughkeepsie called Soul Dog, and they had kind of like a build-your-own hot dog situation. And a lot of their flavors were kind of Asian influence, and so they had like a lot of like spicy peanut. I remember having like spicy peanut sauce and like sprouts, and that being a really delightful thing. But you could also choose your dog, so you could kind of find like a meat or meat substitute that complemented those flavors. So I miss that. So if I'm feeling non-traditional, I miss that place. And I know there are other places that do it, but
there was a fancy hot dog place in Prospect Heights for a while. Closed, I forget, but I'm like really interested in cheese dogs though. What would you recommend? What kind of cheese would you recommend on the hot dog this weekend?
The raclette or maybe like an Emmentaler. Or a Gruyere. I mean,
and do you think that would be good. Making sure it's melty is crucial?
Yeah, most, I would say just about all of cheeses from Switzerland are great melting cheeses, especially when they're younger. So you don't want to put like an aged Gouda that's not really going to melt too well. Okay. So a young cheese like the raclette is really young, a mild Gruyere. Choose your own adventure.
So a lot of these cheeses, like the raclette, is a really aromatic cheese. I mean, in the grand spectrum, it's like not the stinkiest cheese ever. But, you know, it definitely is pretty pungent. And as you start getting into summer, I feel like there's a little bit of like a bias against these like pungent cheeses, but they actually can be like so wonderful. So can you tell us like how you would go about choosing, Allison, like a picnic spread of cheeses? And do you have any like rules of three or combinations that you think are particularly suited to one, both hot weather and that travel well?
Okay. Mm. So when you're going on a picnic, obviously you're bringing a cooler full of your drinks and everything. So there's an ice pack around or some kind of cooling device. So travel with the cheese close to the ice pack. Personally, I would try and have a variety for most guests. I mean, I'm not even going to say like all Swiss cheese. I mean, maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't, but I would start with like a soft goat maybe, and then definitely a Gruyere, a young Gruyere, or an Emmentaler or something like that. Emmentaler is great for picnics. It's like the Swiss cheese. When people think of Swiss cheese, the one with the holes in it, that's the Emmentaler. So it's a perfect picnic cheese. You could bring it for your sandwiches or just bring it to snack on. And then I would even like maybe do something different like a Gouda or like actually from the Roth brand, one of my favorite summer cheeses. They have a cheese called Prairie Sunset. It's a kind of a, you know, that one?
That one.
Yeah, it was inspired by Ami Mollet, and it's this beautiful orange color, and it's perfect summer cheese. So I would maybe bring that one as a variety.
Do you slice it before you go or at the park?
Yeah, so...
Oh, that's a good question.
It is a good question. So think about whenever you're serving cheese, when you cut cheese from the block, it's going to dry out faster because there's more surface area. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you know, you want to enjoy yourselves at the picnic, you don't want to think about, oh, I got to cut the cheese too.
Sorry. We're all 12-year-old boys here.
No, it's okay.
No, just me.
Love it.
You're going to cut the cheese before and after you eat it.
Good one.
Oh,
yes, it's perfect.
Perfect. Take a lactate.
Bino.
Oh, gosh. We're off the rails. Off the rails.
So, in summary, I wouldn't cut it the night before, but maybe like a couple hours before is fine, and then just bring it cubed or. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Batons. That's a good idea.
And if you have cheese that you're cutting too, you know, like it's fun to do different shapes. Or, you know, some are cubes, some are batons, some are chunks, you know, like chunk it with a little parm knife or something. If it's an older cheese, they kind of. They chunk well.
Yeah.
The word is.
Chunk.
That's
chunk.
Great question.
Highly chunkable.
Yeah, even when you're having a party, too, like, don't cut too far in advance. And also always keep your, like, you don't have to worry about keeping the cheese ice cold. In Switzerland, they keep the cheese out all the time. Mm-hmm. Nothing's refrigerated. So don't worry, like, oh, my God, the cheese is going to, like, spoil if I, you know, don't keep it cold enough. Maybe something like a goat cheese, maybe. But, like, these Swiss cheeses, they are so hardy, and they will last. And you know, just watch them. You know, once they start to sweat, nobody likes looking at sweaty cheese. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I took an Emmy Gruyere out of the fridge here, and I left it in my backpack overnight. And
I did
like,
that
oh,
too.
Shit, my cheese, and then it was fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
We had too much fun last time you were here.
And was that in November?
I came home with
the pie?
Cheese in my purse. No, this was recent. I went home with cheese in my purse, and I went to sleep, and then I went to work, and then I went home. And then I had Gruyere in my purse, which was wonderful.
What is that delicious smell?
But it was completely fine. It really did actually take like an entire day of being near it to actually notice it. So it was totally fine. I think we tend to be a little paranoid about refrigeration of like the wrong things.
Yeah.
This coming from the person who like I do refrigerate my peanut butter and hot sauce and like all the things that some... I guess are fine to leave
PSA,
out,
everybody, refrigerate your vermouth. It's wine.
Oh, yeah. Totally. It's oh, my gosh.
Full of sugar,
yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, man.
Yeah.
I have to say in the summertime, like, my go-to meal, because I'm averse to putting on the stove if it's, like, over 80 degrees. Like, having good cheese and fruit.
Yes.
Fruit, yeah.
In my fridge. Mm-hmm. Like, then that'll last me, you know, lunch, dinner. Do you feel like, I know some... cheeses have more of like an earthier, like heartier, more wintry flavor profile. But what would you suggest that I keep in my fridge for when I don't want to turn my stove on in the summer?
To pair with? Wait, I'm.
Yeah, just something like a little lighter that would go with like...
Like when you're having cheese for dinner because you can't.
Cheese
like,
for dinner.
And maybe like fruit or...
Because that's a thing.
I mean, Gruyere, a young Gruyere gets a lot of flack for being kind of a wintry cheese. And I get that too. I think certain cheeses are very seasonal for me. But a young Gruyere with some apricot or like, it goes great with stone fruit. So stone fruit in the summertime and some, even, pineapple is really nice with the Gruyere.
Ooh, that sounds good.
We have a cheese from our Kaltbach collection of family cheeses called La Cremo. And it's a really,
I'm familiar.
Yeah. You guys, so you guys know, I think it's available at Whole Foods now. But that goes really great with pomegranate or pineapple. I think like, cause it's funny. Cause in the wintertime I'm always like getting the dried fruit out, like the dried cranberries and all that stuff. But it's like summer. Yeah. Fresh fruit. And it really makes the cheese sing. Cause it's, you know, kind of it. Cheese is aged. It's a thing, but to bring it to life with something fresh, like a pop of flavor is really great. So, I actually brought some mangoes and berries. I figured maybe we try the raclette with that and like do a taste test.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Summertime for me, I think there's something about mangoes and that, what is that? I have it with me, that tajine, what did they call that?
Tahini.
Yum. I think it was like when I was young in New York, I'd like some Mexican lady on the street gave this to me, like, oh my gosh, yes. I'm in heaven, or like with the
sprinkled like the on the mango.
Ice pops or something. Yeah. So good. I figured let's try it with the raclette.
Let's
this
do
is
it.
Like oh, that's my favorite summer memory.
That's amazing.
You're a genius.
So as we get this ready, do you guys have any other like picnic hacks that are couldn't be cheese or non-cheese related, or just like your best like go-to, like I'm having a picnic and I forgot to go to the store or do anything moves?
Well, usually when I have a picnic, I always bring cheese with me, and it's usually a Swiss or like a Gruyere, or like a Blue, something very salty, and I always pair it with grapes. I always buy grapes. I think that's a very easy thing for people to just pick.
Yeah.
It's very good for like finger food. It's easy, like so easy, like just like you don't even have to think about it.
I love grapes.
Yeah. Like green grapes with a Blue or like a Gruyere is so good.
Yeah. Very refreshing.
Like I think it's like the perfect picnic thing, and they always get like a baguette or something like
that. I want to throw clementines in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good, hard in the summer.
They're not hard as to get good ones.
You can get them in other seasons and they're pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love clementines.
And I also like to get like prosciutto and like bring that. And that's very easy, like finger food kind of stuff. Like I always have to have cheese at a picnic. It's just the best.
Got
to
be heritage prosciutto though.
It does.
Oh, okay.
From Cesare.
Yeah. All right.
It's got to be Cesare.
Well, you can get the sliced prosciutto from Heritage Foods now, and it's pretty great for a picnic. You don't have to do any work. And the other Cesare prosciutto, I have a huge chunk still in my fridge, but you have to hand slice it. And it's sort of an ordeal because you get like a greasy whole situation. But I had a picnic recently. I don't remember the day. But some friends came over and they were just stopping by, but then it was suddenly like, oh, we're going on a picnic. Do you want to come on a picnic? But it was like they had sort of prepared and I had like no preparation and hadn't really been to the store. So I was like, oh crap, what do I have in my pantry? But actually I realized that like I do like keep a pantry that's stocked with enough like weird items that make a really good picnic. So And the funniest thing was like everything I had, our friends had like a slightly varied duplicate of it. So what I pulled together out of my pantry was like a bag of mixed nuts, two like weird cans of seafood. Like I had some sardines and I think I had some smoked mussels or something. And a jar of olives that was like shelf stable. Usually I buy the refrigerated olives, but I keep for emergencies some jars of olives. And we had some like weird like alligator jerky that our friend brought us.
That's
and like
nuts.
And I found a piece of cheese, and so we like get out on our picnic, and like everything I brought, they had brought the compliment. So it was like we had alligator jerky, they brought emu jerky, they had like weird tinned meat and seafood and jars of olives, and it was just like we were like total picnic spirit animals, and I just thought I was like pulling the most random stuff out of my pantry. But I think the secret for me is just to really like make sure you have some wine in the fridge and like cans of seafood if that's your thing.
And I'm really I don't care about if I have like a 3/4 or a 1/2 bottle of wine, I will bring that to a picnic.
Totally.
And I also am so glad that you said that you had sardines in your pantry because I love anchovies and I love sardines and I will eat them out of the can. It's
oh, incidentally,
so good.
Does Patrick still have those anchovies over
yes,
in the warehouse?
They're so good.
I'm gonna go get some.
I agree. I think like canned fish is an essential. It's absolutely essential. But you guys kind of named my go-to picnic things. What about you?
I'm trying to think. I'm kind of boring. It's like hummus and vegetable crudité type stuff. Obviously cheese, duh.
Yeah.
but for me, like similar to what Katie was saying, like in my pantry, there's always jams, there's always honey, there's always like accoutrements for the cheese or like nuts or something.
Honey
like,
is good.
Yeah. Mm. So it's always like, I will bring the cheese and everything with it. And on top of that, I have all these like little cheese tools, like little spoons and little forks and all that little like, you know, cutesy stuff that makes it easy for people to, you know, spoon some jam onto the cheese. And,
are your friends really spoiled because you always have like, you bring the most incredible cheese spread.
We're not even dealing with like the cheesemonger, we're just gonna let you deal with it.
Yes, I am the go-to cheese person. Like Allison will bring the cheese, and it's for like gifts too. Like my mom was in Florida for her birthday, and I sent her cheese from Murray's, and she was just like, "Oh my god, like I can't even." And
she's
my
like,
aunt,
"I love you."
My aunt is a total Tetemon fan too. Like she, and they don't have it down there in Florida, like where she lives, and so she's always like, "You got any Tetemon for me? Can you like send it over? Could you send it down?"
Did
like,
bring the stuff?
She's like ready to like start a campaign for Tetemon in Florida. So.
I just tried it. It's lovely.
Yeah,
I'll curl so some more. Good.
Yeah, I'm wondering if is it okay if I just lean over and
curl? Go
I'm
for it.
Curl away.
It's an art to curl it. Yeah.
I'm excited to try.
Maybe we should take a break and we can.
We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna do some curling. We're gonna investigate some mango raclette.
I'm gonna
situation.
Refill my plate.
And we have to feed our engineer. So
and we also have some picnic
you're doing this for
trivia.
Free.
We do, yeah. Oh so we're going to take a very short break, and we will be back, and we will deliver the full report in less than 10. See you soon.
Well, she's her own. She's her own. She's her own female, that's why I like her a lot. And she don't know that she's her own female. She's her own female and she don't know, that's why I like her a lot. I caught a cab to the cafe to play the charming young man. That's when she told me, tie me up and cuff me to the window. You know how I like the riptide. You know I like to ride a wave so slowly as the ocean patrol be rolling by. Dirty girl, I'm on the run. Got to get in and get out. You say you won't be much fun tonight, but I doubt it, I doubt it a lot. Yeah.
about what it takes to swim a coastline longer than the entire eastern seaboard and leap tall waterfalls in a single bound. What does it take to survive 200 feet deep in icy salt water? What would you be made of? Wild Alaska seafood is made of tight muscle mass, long chain omega-3s, and incredible micronutrients. It matters where your food comes from. Experience the flavor of the fittest in every bite and enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. Ask for Alaska on the menu, grocery store, or smart device. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
We're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
With
Welcome
a mouth back full of
to
cheese.
HR and happy hour. We just tried such a cool thing. Well, two really, really awesome things just happened. One is we all tried a turn on the girole.
Yeah. Mm.
And with the tetemoan, we all tried making the beautiful rosettes of tetemoan. And we are all seasoned professionals now. Although they didn't quite all look as beautiful as the first ones. But I think we've all gotten the touch now. You have to go very, you have to have a lighter touch than maybe you think, but you have to go quickly. And that's what seems to have made the rosettes happen. But then the other thing that we just did was we just tried the mango and blackberries with the tahine and some melted hot raclette on cold mango.
My life has been changed.
It's so good. Margaret, what did you think?
I want to make this every day.
Margaret's been reborn.
It's so good.
I'm glad it worked. I wasn't love sure what was going to happen here.
Mango and cheese, never had it. I mean, maybe on a taco?
It's the perfect combination.
It's so good.
Of like sweet, sour.
Yes.
Salty. Little salty. Spicy, fatty.
Yes. Oh, it hits everything.
It really does.
Yeah. So good.
This might be my last meal.
Hannah is speaking in tongues.
It mango has kind of a... an edge. I don't know how to describe it, but you know what I mean? Where it's like a little piney and like a little
astringent. I know, it's piney. That's exactly what I was going to say.
You know, that, and I think the raclette like totally like took that little like element of the mango away.
Mm-hmm.
So good. I would never in a million years have thought to do that with us with cheese on a tropical
I'm
fruit.
I'm glad it worked out. Great. I'm really trying to push raclette into the summer because it's kind of like a winter thing. People think like ski Alps and this and that, but like it's perfect for the grill and for summer and for fruit.
Yeah, we're gonna make fetch happen.
Yeah, let's change the world.
I'm gonna do this weekend.
Awesome.
awesome. This is my plan.
So where can we find one of these delightful little home reclamation?
Yeah.
So Bosca, our friends at Bosca, sell these tools. Also, you could probably find them if you just go on Amazon. You can find anything now. There's a lot of other Swiss vendors that sell them. Okay. But Bosca's been really innovative with making it fun. And the tea light, you know, concept is been done before, but they like just, mm-hmm. you know, they use really great quality materials and they're easy to find. This, I think you could find in some retailers carry them in the deli section.
Mm-hmm. Kind of looks very Danish. It's like very, I don't know. It's very modern looking. It's not clunky. It's cute.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the other thing. They're very stylish. Yes. The head over in the Netherlands, Martijn, he's a pistol and he's great. And he's just very much like, it's got to be cool and sexy and, you know, and that really comes through
you
in their products.
You got to be cool.
And it works for, you know, in New York, I'm always like, wait, if I want new things for my kitchen, but I have, you know, negative amounts of cabinet space. And so I'm always, you know, is it worth it? Kind of one in, one out. Like, what should I get rid of so that I can squeeze this in? But this, it takes up, like, no space whatsoever.
Yeah, and so, even the Girol, yeah, it's like, flat, really. Mm-hmm.
It's very small.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes with the cutting boards. Yeah, yes. It's flat. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
It's
yeah.
apartment friendly.
And then when you have a party, you are just the coolest. Hero of all your friends.
It's three
just like
tea
that.
Lights, and it can fit in your tote bag. I mean, it's yeah. like so...
The dream.
Yeah.
No, that would fit, like, I have one of those, like, folding picnic blankets that, you know, has a
Me
strap.
Too.
You
yeah.
could just, like, seriously tuck that up
but
in there. You would never
in
even
that
know the
you
difference.
Even, yeah, you wouldn't even...
And,
even
I talk. Mean, as much as I want everyone to be doing raclette on this thing, but other cheeses will melt on there, too. So, you know, your Gruyere, your cheddar, whatever else you got going on there. So
it is technically possible to melt
yes.
other cheese.
Yeah,
but, we're gonna
but
be
why?
The but why would you?
Everyone in Prospect Park this summer.
Yeah, so get your own. Go to Bosca. Get your own dang party clad.
Yeah, get some Emmy cheese.
But if you need to be a gift hero, get some Tête de Moine and a Girolle.
Yeah, hero. Perfect hostess gift, too. Yeah. That was my aunt's brilliant idea down in Florida. She's like, first of all, it needs to go on Oprah. I'm like, okay, dream big. Thank you. Not exactly possible. Oprah, if you're listening.
Oprah, you get a record.
Please come on HR and happy hour.
You get a Tête de Moine. You get a Tête de Moine.
Imagine. Oh, I'd retire.
Wouldn't that be awesome? If you are thinking about this for a hostess gift, what's the price point for the cheese and the Girolle, more or less?
So if you get a full cylinder, it's probably a lot of money, but most retailers, they cut it in half and they'll sell like half of it. Hopefully they cut it in half the right way, not like wedged.
Oh,
like,
God.
Because that would just be a sin. So I would say for the cheese, you know, it depends. Maybe like $17-ish for half a wedge. Mm-hmm. Half
oh,
a,
that's
I'm bad. Sorry,
this would
half
feed
a
lot
wheel.
Of people. That would make
oh,
like,
yeah.
a lot of... Of flowers, cheese flowers.
Yeah, and it stays. Like you know, whatever you don't use, you take it right off and you put it in the fridge and you use it the next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've probably had like maybe 9 or 10 flowers, maybe like 2 each. And
I was sitting next to it, so.
I mean, we've barely scratched the top of the wheel.
Yeah,
so,
I'm still hungry, so,
yeah.
you know.
Like, okay, so this is a totally
very economical.
Range. Yeah. Okay, well, we are coming up to that part of the show, Allison, where we're going to completely put you on the spot. But
oh my God.
You're an expert in this field, so I think we're going to be okay.
If you want, I can do it since I wrote them, and you guys can be phone a friend because they
oh,
are
Oh, yeah, I didn't actually look at the
easy.
Answers. So this is a picnic-themed trivia today.
And there's like a bizarre amount of information about picnics on the internet is what I discovered today.
Wow.
That's
it's
really
okay.
scary.
You,
okay,
David
Amy,
was
David,
just trying to throw you off.
It's just a picnic.
Don't worry. Okay. Life is a picnic. Okay.
Gingham.
Wait, remember that time you sang that song about life being
like
a cabaret?
Fabrics.
I vaguely remember. I don't know. Your margaritas kind of wiped me clean. So, okay. The origin of the word picnic was inspired by a French term, pique-nique. Which was originally used to describe a group of people who were dining in a restaurant, not a park. But it meant that they were bringing their own what? So again,
their own...
They were
food?
Dining in a restaurant and not in a park.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bringing their own... gosh.
And we have a good acronym for this now.
An acronym?
Or not an acronym. We have a...
Oh,
I have a... If they're French, it's either got to be like wine, cheese, or bread.
Yeah. There
it's
you
wine.
Go. It's wine.
All right.
Yeah, so Piquenique is the original BYOB.
Oh.
So
Piquenique.
That's what we should call it now.
I'm going for a picnic.
This weekend, I am going for a picnic.
Avec fromage.
With my
le vin.
Okay.
Vin.
I have to let my accent go. In 1989, the Pan-European Picnic was held as a form of political protest to advocate for the reunification of Germany. The picnic protest occurred on the border of Germany and another European nation. What country was it?
Switzerland?
Ooh.
No.
Germany and
so
Germany.
Karmic, though.
So Germany. Austria? It's a border of Germany.
Austria.
Okay, so I think that this is tricky because Austria and Hungary were one country.
Oh,
so
Austro-Hungary.
So it's Hungary. It's Hungary, but
oh,
I think
so
was,
yeah.
Yeah.
David was
the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
I had to say Switzerland, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I mean, of, that's okay.
No,
that's
yeah,
what you're working in.
We know where your loyalties lie. the 1968 hit song Stone Soul Picnic was performed by which female songwriter?
What year?
Wait,
was
tell
this?
Me the year.
1968. Can you say? Come on, you all know that song.
I don't think really? We actually
can
do.
You picnic?
I've never heard,
no.
that.
Heard
really?
That
song.
Yeah, it's just you, Hannah.
Oh, I thought
can
this was going to be an easy one. No.
I don't know what.
Who is popular?
Laura Nyro.
Laura Nyro?
No.
Nyro?
No.
Okay. Like okay. N-E-R-O?
And Y-R-O.
Oh, our engineer is so amazing. He just brought us some bread and butter.
Oh, man.
Sweet.
Thank you,
thank you, okay, well, I'm sorry. Lovely, I thought that would be dude. Easy, but I guess that's
that was hard.
My
that was
niche
too
thing.
Hard.
I'm
wait,
sorry.
Can we hear that song?
I don't
David,
think
can
we
you
can.
Cue that up?
Wait, what's it
Stone
called
Soul Picnic?
This is going to take some time.
Stone Soul, S-O-L-E,
don't worry,
Picnic.
We have cheese.
Laura Nyro.
Okay. In the meantime, what's the next question?
Okay, the next question is, the most popular date to have a picnic in France is Bastille Day, and in Italy, it's Easter. What oh. date is the most popular date for Americans to have a picnic?
Is this a trick question?
Ooh.
Mother's Day.
It's not today.
either Memorial Day or 4th of July.
4th of July.
4th of July.
Good work.
Okay.
Yay.
Go. Okay, and your final question.
Okay.
Oh, here's the song.
Oh, it's cute.
I like it.
It's a good song.
I think I'll listen this weekend.
Can you serenade?
Oh.
Can you picnic? Whoa.
Whoa!
Sounds like a Carole.
Hey, you really nailed it, though.
Sounds like a Carole King imitator.
I know, it's very Carole King.
Yeah.
I think my mom just really liked Laura Nyro when I was growing up. Because it is
very
before my time.
All right, Laura, we can't afford to pay you royalties.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
Goodbye.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
She's okay. still alive?
I believe, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I think so.
Right.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay, so one of the earliest fictional portrayals of a picnic was enjoyed by which hero and his merry band of thieves?
Oh,
merry band of thieves.
Jesus and the apostles.
I know a merry band of thieves.
Yeah, I think so.
Robin Hood?
Yeah!
Right? Yeah, it's gotta be.
You win trivia!
I'm sorry, that was hard!
Oh, I like that trivia this time.
That was a delightful trivia.
It was.
Thank you for putting that together.
And we learned some music. And
yeah, the, answer, the answers were all within our grasp. That's
these
a
are
nice change for trivia.
Wonderful.
You're welcome.
Well, guys, it's been a really fun Thursday. This happy hour show is always like the best way to wrap up, especially when it's a short week. Because I'm
and especially
out
when it's cheese.
And it's cheese. And we have had such wonderful treats. And Allison, thank you
You're
so much for being part
girls.
Of HRN Happy Hour again.
Yes, we love you.
And we are so delighted. Can't wait to share some pictures of the cheeses.
Yes.
And take a look at our episode page on heritageradionetwork.org if you'd like to see the gorgeous tête de moine, which I think is truly the most beautiful cheese without contest of any I've ever seen because it makes flowers.
Yes.
And check out this raclette action and try it. Be adventurous. Try it on a mango.
That's our advice to you. Enjoy your picnics this weekend. Thank you so much, David, for taking care of us and making us sound great and eating all of our food.
I brought you bread and butter.
I know, you're the best. You're the best. We couldn't do it without you. And also, please don't forget to check out Meet in 3. This is our other show that's coming out of the HRN office. And episode 3 comes out tomorrow, Friday, May, what's tomorrow? 25th. So
where has the
stay
time
with
gone?
Us. And if you missed the first couple episodes, it only takes half an hour to catch up. So you can do that this weekend when you are traveling to wherever you're going to enjoy
on your
holiday.
Bluetooth speaker in the park when you're picnicking.
With your party clip.
Blasting. Volume at 11.
I hope your speakers go to 11 this weekend. I hope everybody has a great time.
We go to 12, though.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Hannah. Thank and you. Allison, thank you once
You're
again.
Thank you.
Being here.
A pleasure.
Have a great Always. Memorial Day, everybody.
Happy official first weekend of summer.
Yay, we made it.
Yes.
Finally. All right, folks, that's our show. We will see you next Thursday at 5 o'clock-ish. And we'll be back with Kat Johnson. So tell her you missed her. Take
Who?
Care, everybody. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
HRN Happy Hour is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.